I was asked by some people this last week. It was more of a statement than a question. They said, you really seem to kind of get into Vacation Bible School, don't you? And I had some parents, people I'd never met, say the same thing. You know, almost a surprise look when they found out I was a senior pastor. Probably for some good reasons and maybe not so good reasons. I don't know. But I think mostly it was people saying, you know, you really seem to love this. You love the kids, but you love the workers here. And I guess my secret's out. I really do. I really do. In fact, Vacation Bible School, the Friday that it wraps up is, I know, a day of great relief and achievement for the incredible team that pulled it off. And it's also a day of great satisfaction. We did it. We did it. There was that collective feeling. We did it. And God did so much through us. And in a little bit, we're going to pray as we send off high schoolers to Harlow. They're going to go down there and they're going to minister. And they're going to come home. At least this is how we're going to pray. They're going to come home saying, we did it. God used us to touch kids and leave an impact that will last for eternity. Folks, that should give you chills even on a hot day. Really should. And that's how it felt for me at the end of this last week. There was this deep sense of satisfaction, and I must confess to you, kind of a letdown, a sadness that it's over. And I know that some of you workers who are exhausted go, Pastor, don't go there. We're going to need a year to recover. You know, but honestly, it was a letdown because it was so fun. It was like a feast of ministry to be there and watch God touch people and watch God. I don't ever want to become casual about the news that Mary shared with us that 50 children said yes to Jesus for the first time. That's huge. That is just, that's the program. That's what we're here for. Before I go further, if you're part of Vacation Bible School, Mary, you said there were 85 workers. I know you're not all here. Some of you are getting a long-deserved, a day at the spa or something. I don't know what today. But if you were one of them, I want you to stand up right now because we want to love on you with some great applause for your incredible, incredible effort. All around, everybody. That's terrific. Thanks, you guys. And you know, I want you to know, I had a little tiny part. I was just mainly, shared a Bible story of Peter walking on the water and fearing that he would drown and Jesus rescuing him. But I looked at leaders who handled crafts and handled snacks and handled games and everything. But then I looked at the leaders that are walking around hours every day with little people, with children, and loving them. And I thought, you know, that is a reward in itself. It was exhausting, and it had a lot that it required of people. But I got to tell you what happened in these just couple of moments. Friday afternoon, VBS is over. We had a huge picnic, bunch of cooked cow. We had a parking lot full of people. We had tables out there, and lots of them brought their families, and it was just cool. And then it was tear it down and put it away time. And, you know, you would expect people that have just been pouring themselves out all week to kind of just fold it up and go. But, you know, I stood there and watched. I had my little part to do. We pulled our trailer there. It was Camp Rock Kids Camp and Sun Rock Kids Camp, and it was, I'll get it down. It's, you know. I had my little part, but I kept looking around. I was watching this, and you know what struck me? This church runs like a Rolex. That was the impression I had. I was watching people do 150 little tasks, and they did it, and they did it with joy, and they worked together as a team, and it was done. It was completely put away, picked up, restored to, form that it needs to be in at church and all. And it was another example, another picture of how we work together as a church. And it runs like a Rolex, was the impression I had. I don't have a Rolex, but I think they're pretty cool watches, I'm told. Here's something that the Bible says about the picture I just gave you. The Bible says that we are part of a body. You know that if you've been part of the Corinthian study. And in that study, we talked about how each part of the body, each one of us is a member of the body with something to give, something to contribute. And I got to tell you something. I stood right here 16 years ago. And I stood here on a Sunday like this. It was warm. It was one of the 2 weeks Debbie and I came with a little child at the time, Carrie Ann. And we were candidating, they call it, in church circles. We were being considered for this job that I said yes to, and this role of serving as your pastor. And that Sunday, if you were here, and I'd be curious, how many were here that Sunday? Okay, some of you remember that Sunday. It was kind of, we were a small group at that time, and I shared these thoughts with you. I stood up here and I said, I want to dream out loud. And I want to tell you, I dream of being a pastor of a church that's committed to grace and truth, just like John chapter 1 says. I want to be a church, I dream of being a pastor that's committed to those things, because they never become sort of out of vogue. They are current and important always. Then I said, I want to be a pastor of a church that's more like a hospital for sinners than a hotel for saints. I said, there it is. It's just out in the open. I don't want to just be this cozy little club, a hotel for saints. You know, is the room temperature just right for you? I want to be a hospital for sinners where people can go, you know, I belong there. Why? Because they accept me where I am. And they love me too much to just leave it like that. They tell me about God and the God that wants to give me a new beginning and a new start. Then I said, I want to be a pastor of a church where I'm free to live and to pastor for an audience of one, where I don't feel like I've got to jump through everybody's hoops and satisfy everybody's wishes and desires, and I shared that as at that time as well. And then I said, I really dream of being a pastor of a church where everybody does their part. And I got to tell you, folks, it's happened, and it's happening. Those things are part of life here at Grace Point. If you're brand new this Sunday, you thought I'd come, somebody invited you, you're going to learn that that's part of what church life is like here at Grace Point. The Bible's full of challenges for us to live out. And there's a long list of those commands, they're called in the Bible, that can't happen without each other. The Bible talks about the importance of rejoicing with one another. The Bible talks about the importance of mourning with one another. We've suffered a lot of loss this year in our church family, family members of people here at Grace Point. And you know what's amazing? No one had to say, hey, make sure you care for that person or love on them or grieve with them. Or it just happened. It's part of life here at Grace Point. The Bible talks about the need to be devoted to one another. There's a whole list of these commands. Live in harmony with one another. Basics. Love. Finish the sentence. One another, sure. Bear one another's burdens. Share with one another. Encourage one another. Here's one. Comfort one another. And there's a whole list of them, get this now, that are not possible. You cannot pull them off. Let me just say it bluntly. You can't fulfill these commandments alone. We need one another. And that's the wonderful news about Grace Point. I want you to leave you with this thought, and then we're going to break for lunch. We're going to sing a song and get you out of the sun, you who are thinking that you're the cooked meal for the next few minutes. I really believe that God wants to deliver comfort and care and encouragement and wants to bear your burdens. I believe that God wants to do all those things, and his chosen delivery system is others in his body. It's a great discovery, if you haven't made that discovery, that that's how God wants to do things. He wants to give those things to us, and his chosen delivery system for doing so is one another. My favorite prayer for people, it comes from Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. I have learned that the favorite vehicle God uses to deliver his ever-present help is through one another. And I know many of you have discovered that as well. I want to leave you with this thought. Some of you here today are saying, you know, VBS sounds like it was huge. Maybe you're new enough to this church, you're saying, man, I love the sound of what you're describing, Pastor. I'd love to be a part of that. Here's the good news. You can be a part of what I just described. A part of a body where you play your part. There's a special place for you to plug in and serve. You ask, how do I do that, Pastor? How can I be a part? It starts with a relationship with Jesus. That's where it all begins. And coming to him and saying, God, I need you in my life. And then when you become one of his children, he gives you a role to play in his family. Listen to these words and I'll pray. By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many parts, and these parts do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If in proportion to his faith, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is in serving, let him serve. If it's in teaching the word of God, then let him teach. If it's in encouraging, there's a gift, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's to lead, let him lead diligently. If it's to show mercy, let him do so cheerfully. And then for all of us, we're invoked with these words. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. There's one of the one another's. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, serving the Lord patiently, faithful in prayer, sharing with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I want to encourage you that call Grace Point home to keep playing the part that makes this church run like a Rolex. Keep playing your part. And if you're not part of Grace Point, maybe today will be that step to drawing you in to a closer look at this God that's in charge of this whole thing, and a role and a relationship that he has for you, and a role for you to play here in his body. I want to lead us in prayer and thank God for what he's brought about in 16 years here. And I believe that there's many, many more years to come of his impact in our lives and through us to one another. Father, thank you today. Thank you for the wonderful flood of memories that for me every year happens at this gathering. Country Sunday, where I was moved by you a long time ago to dream out loud of a church that was a safe place for people. A safe place to struggle. You don't come here when you get it together. You come here to get it together. And God, you've made that happen in so many lives here. It's irresistible to us. Thank you for making us a place where it's not only possible, it's promoted that every single one of us live our lives for an audience of one. And there's freedom in that, God. I pray for the person maybe seated here today that doesn't have a relationship with you. 4th of July was a vivid reminder of the freedom that's so rich and real to us Americans. It matters a huge amount to us. But you said in drawing attention to freedom that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And that describes every person in this picnic today, God. We all start out sinners, and we become slaves to sin. And then you say, you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those whom the Son has set free will be free for sure. And so, God, I pray for that person here today that doesn't know you yet, who's a slave, as you say, to sin. May they find the true freedom that comes at a spiritual level, at the soul level, freedom from sin to live for you. And then as that person discovers that, that they would move into the role that you have them to play here in your body. God, we just pray for many, many more to come to know you just as they did at Vacation Bible School this week. We do all this for your glory until you call us home in the name of Jesus. Together we say, amen, amen. We're going to sing a last song. Are we sending them out right now? Okay. My bad.